There are thousands of children in this country who are suffering poverty and deprivation, and there were representatives from several organisations at the Children's Committee at the edifice today. And before I came on air, I spoke with Fiona Jennings. Fiona is Head of Policy and Public Affairs for the Irish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, who also appeared at the committee today. And I started by asking her what she wanted to get across to the politicians present there. 51551, where you're listening.
So today our core message to the Committee on Children and Equality was really to look behind the statistics when we're talking about child poverty and deprivation, and to really understand the stories and the experiences of the children and the families at the heart of it. When we, I suppose, work with children and families across the country, child poverty and deprivation can reveal itself in many ways to us. So a lot of the support that we would offer children and families is in the home. When we go in and we do those home visits, we often see children and families living in inadequate accommodation with the bare minimum furniture and household goods. Often as well, it's revealed through social exclusion that children experience. So they perhaps aren't engaged in extracurricular activities in school because their parents just cannot afford those additional costs. So the child misses out. And children often tell us that they feel different and that they're treated different as well. And this in turn then can impact on their behaviour. So children living in poverty, they often struggle to cope and to self-regulate just due to the circumstances that they find themselves in. So they can might be anxious or withdrawn. And sometimes that behaviour, you know, it might be perceived to be acting out or that they're bold, you know, but this is a way that, you know, they're telling us that they're struggling to cope with the stresses that they're under and that their families are under.
And in your experience, Fiona, do families and even children try and hide poverty and deprivation?
Very much so, Cormac, it is. And it's quite sad in 2025 that children have to do this. And I suppose that those feelings that they have to do that are probably compounded, especially with children who are living in IPAS and homeless accommodation, and the serious impact that that's having, especially on younger children reaching their developmental milestones. Or, you know, that child might be in school, you know, little simple things like, you know, they're invited on a play date, but it's very difficult for them to, you know, to reciprocate that back because of the circumstances and what they're living in. And the impact this can have on their social skills as well, even in terms of play, because often there's inadequate, if at all, any play resources available to children. But also as well, I suppose children, you know, living in families where there's an intergenerational experience of poverty as well. So growing up in homes where poverty has existed across the generations, again, that is something that children try and hide and try and hide their circumstances. You know, but this is where, you know, those families, they face significant barriers to education, maybe, or to access to healthcare. And that's impeded their ability to work and to thrive as adults. And that cycle perpetuates as well.
My God, that's a really deep impact on any child, isn't what you've described there. Is it widespread in Irish society now, though, child deprivation and poverty?
I think our understanding of child deprivation and poverty might be one thing versus what the reality of it actually is. You know, again, last week we hear of another report coming out where more, if you like, middle income families are now coming within, you know, the poverty and deprivation, in that they're struggling to, you know, meet the basic needs of their family. So there might be a household where two parents are working, but you know, their whatever income is coming in, it's going on childcare, it's putting fuel in the car so they can get to work, they can get to school. And that perhaps sometimes is maybe the hidden poverty that we're maybe just coming to realise that's out there as well.
Okay, so people barely scraping by and trying to put the best foot forward. You came with key recommendations to the committee, to politicians today. What would help? What would help child poverty and deprivation alleviate all of that?
Yeah, so I suppose one of the key things that came up, and it came up with other witnesses there today as well, but the need for multi-annual funding. You know, so I said to the committee today that sometimes what's worse than no services is going in, putting in a service and then pulling out again. That can really impact the trust that those communities have on service providers. And if each year, every 12-month cycle, you know, you're constantly going back to your funders trying to get money to sustain a service, that can be incredibly difficult in terms of forward planning, but also as well in retaining the expertise that the service requires. But a key thing I think would make a difference, you know, today is World Children's Day, Universal Children's Day, the 20th of November. Ireland ratified the UN Convention on the Child in 1989. We had a children's rights referendum in 2012 that gave somewhat effect to that. But really what we need is for all those articles of the UNCRC to be fully incorporated into domestic legislation, because that then would really give children actual enforceable rights. You know, we can have our policies, we can have our frameworks, but when government doesn't deliver on those, you know, there's no actual legal basis there to challenge that.
So rights like what? What hasn't been transposed into Irish law that a child could enforce in the courts if they were there? A right to a home, for example?
Absolutely. So right to adequate shelter, that is one of the provisions of the UNCRC. So that children have a right to live in accommodation that is of an adequate standard.
Okay, so you want multi-annual funding and you want enforceable rights for children as well. And I know you mentioned a whole raft of other supports as well today at the committee. Do you want to mention any of those before we finish?
Yeah, I think a core one as well is particularly to tackle intergenerational poverty. We really need a continuum of sustained, targeted measures to address those inequalities. Those inequalities didn't happen overnight. They didn't happen over a 12-month period. So that particular one is not about funding, you know, short interventions. It really requires a more concerted effort. You know, things like a properly funded model of childcare is something that would really, really help with that. Access to education at all different levels to support, I suppose, to support children staying in education, first of all, because we know some children can leave school at 16 and they often do, and they feel under pressure to bring in an additional income into the family home. Or sometimes we know that they end up in criminality, that is a lure for them as well in terms of bringing in income into the home.
Okay.
So I think that those particular issues would be really important to address.
And that was Fiona Jennings, who's Head of Policy and Public Affairs with the ISPCC, one of the organisations talking about child poverty and deprivation at the Oireachtas today. Cúin, that was devastating.
It was devastating. And again, in the context of billions of euros being available, there are questions to be asked about what the strategy is overall. It seems to be based on many of the groups there today were saying that a lot of it is based on the contracting out to private companies by the state to deliver services that were formerly provided by the communities and voluntary sector, and that a lot of these grants are not offered on a multi-annual basis. That means that the interventions are brief, often withdrawn, and because there isn't a sustained intervention happening, and often because there isn't prevention happening, and because the interventions are too brief, ultimately a lot of these efforts prove futile or they don't work to the extent that is hoped.
Maybe, Ray, that the problems of intergenerational poverty are too complex to be sorted quickly and easily. Would that be fair?
I saw an ad on the telly last night about a child who was living in homelessness, and he was out playing in his friend's house, and the friend said, maybe I'll call around 2 years later. And I was having a bit of a low moment, but he went home to the house, and there was somebody coming from to say we've got a home for you, and I just felt the tears in my eyes. Like, it's just dreadful, the homelessness in particular, and the effect it's having on children. But I'm talking to people who are working in sports clubs now, and they're saying that children are being removed from the sports club because the family can't afford the 230 euros for the sports league. I had a woman telling me that her son wants to do TY and he can't do TY because of the 400 euros that costs. That's before you even pay for the trip. You know, people who never thought they were facing poverty are facing poverty now.
And but what you know, do you do, though? What do you do to fix it?
Well, we have to target it.
Moved, actually, by listening to Fiona there, listening to children because of poverty and deprivation.
It's terrible.
Who feel different, yeah. Who are treated differently, who act out because of it, who are anxious and withdrawn and are struggling to deal with the stress. But the question for you, though, is, Almost not to get emotional, even though that's impossible. What do you do from a policy point of view?
Well, to within a day of the budget being announced, if you go over to Buswells, you'll meet all the children's advocacy groups, and they will have gone through the budget and they will be able to tell you the difference this is affecting families. So we have to meet them first before the budget, make sure our budgets are poverty proofed. We have to make sure.
What does that mean? What would you have changed?
Well, you have to make sure that, for example, social welfare is index linked, so that people aren't worse off after a budget. I think Sinn Féin introduced an activity card there recently, mm-hmm. that children could still go to their dance classes, their sports club, you know.
But bottom line,
make sure the children don't feel left
bottom
out.
Line. After the budget, disabled organisations, for example, said that disabled people were worse off after the budget.
Well, actually, in this budget, we did see an increase of 628 million in 1 year.
That's meaningless if you break it down and you still have child poverty in thousands.
Yeah, so, Fiona spoke eloquently, effectively. It was very emotional listening to her now, and I was there this morning. And when it comes to intergenerational trauma, the effects of that, when it comes to the cycles of poverty that people are living with, I agreed with her this morning. And before I knew that that's what we were going to be discussing today, and there does have to be multi-annual funding. It was me that asked that question today about do they feel that they're constantly firefighting?
Why isn't there?
I see this in Dublin West. I work with the youth workers. I work with the social workers. I work with the Gardaí. I know what's happening on the ground.
I know you do, actually. And so why isn't there multi-annual funding?
I don't know why there isn't multi-annual funding, but I will say this, that we have to take an approach that is based on, my own perspective is you need progressive universalism, you need universal supports, you also need targeted supports,
yeah.
and then you need additional supports on top of that. And really,
it's not
we are
adequately, is it?
Well, it's happening. So childcare, for instance, is an early learning is. Investing in early learning is one of the most powerful and important things that we can do to target child poverty. We have a lot of work to do in childcare. I'm the first one to say that. We need to move to a new model. But where we are now, you can see that there has been progress and there is a positive model there in relation to having the National Childcare Scheme offers universal subsidies. It then offers enhanced subsidies for families that need it. And then on top of that, for children that need support in relation to disadvantaged areas, yeah. We have Equal Start hold on a second. We also have the AIM support, which is for children with additional needs and disabilities.
But if there's if there's an economic wobble, that might be the first policy to go.
No.
And I'll put it this way. What is the point? What is the point?
No, this is structural reform. Whole conversation that we're having tonight
is
about the importance of sustainable structural reform.
What is the point of having a strong, quote-unquote, economy with billions in surplus when you have thousands of children going hungry tonight? What is the point of it?
The reason why we want a strong economy is so those children don't go hungry tonight.
But they are, Eimear.
And we have work to do, but there are positive initiatives. There is a positive model that we can grow on with childcare, but it does need to evolve into a different system.
For many years now, we've had billions for many years. We have a quote unquote strong economy for many years, and I don't want to be too difficult on you now.
But
I know you're dealing with this at the coalface in Dublin West.
I would agree that things have not evolved quick enough when it comes to childcare.
Is it a failure of the government?
But no, I don't believe and childcare isn't a failure. But I will say this, Cormac, for any child to go hungry, for any family to be suffering, that absolutely has to be addressed, and it isn't
a failure.
Acceptable.
It's a failure, isn't it?
It's a failure of policy if,
yes, okay.
if
it's
people
a failure of policy.
Are struggling, and it is something through political policies and through political will,
okay.
it can be changed.
It's a failure of policy, and it's surely okay to say that if Emer can point to a roadmap to improve things, which he's done.
I was listening to Fiona earlier, and I was referring back to Barnardo's. They did a survey recently, and they found that over 40% of parents have either skipped meals for their kids or they've reduced their child's portions. Cost of living is affecting children, and you're going to pay a price for that going forward. You know, Cormac, I have rehab centres, Tiglin, and you often meet people who have come undone for various reasons, but often it goes back to childhood trauma. You will pay the price for that. And recently in Naas, 4 years ago, in my own hometown, we opened up a new facility, and it's to target youth homelessness, and it's to help young people. Most of them have come out of the care system, but these are people who, when they come out of the care system, they are sort of given allowance and let go. No supports, no housing supports, educational supports, etc. We went to Tusla, and Tusla said there's no demand for such a service. We are out the door. Kildare County Council and Homeless Care in Naas partnered with us. In the last 4 years, we've had 84 young people come through our doors. And I was at a wedding last week. I was telling Coon and Rada, and it was the first guy who ever came through our programme, living under a bridge, and now he's got a job as a manager, getting married, and he's kicking the ball out of the park. So President Higgins was down visiting us before he retired, and he said the county councils need to ask themselves, why isn't there such a youth homeless facility in every county in Ireland? So I do think
why
the government...
Isn't there?
Well, I don't know, but I tell you, I was told not to do it. I did it, and it's been an absolute success in terms of helping young people.
Well, it's a superb initiative. John in Limerick says, this support and that support and still people in poverty, 5,000 children homeless, long-term supports, those people will be dead by then. The government parties are responsible for that, he says. Another listener says to 51551, fear of something possibly happening down the line has proven the greatest get-out-of-jail-free card for the government. A country awash with money, yet so many people in crisis. Elected public representatives need to work for the people. Action needed on actual crisis now, in capitals from this listener, ahead of possible future issues. But, Raida Cronin, I go back to the point that Ibrahim was making earlier. Around one in five children in the north are living in relative poverty. And that's where Sinn Féin is in power.
In power, yeah. And as I explained, we have a set budget. But I was actually in Tiglin in Naas when Michael D. Higgins came down and called it a housing disaster. And it was...
Tiglin now.
He wasn't. No, but he was saying that, you know, what we're facing. And we've now passed 5,000 children living in homelessness. And I have no doubt that Emer cares deeply about the children she meets and wants to fix things. And, you know, it's good that people like that are put in government, you know, can feel that and express that and try to get that working. But we do have to make sure that social welfare is means tested. We have to look at things like education, you know, making sure that families don't have to face the so-called voluntary fees, you know, the house school meals
in terms of social protection payments being means tested. Do you know how that much would cost?
Well, however much it costs, like social welfare, it has to be means tested. However much it costs, that's a safety net. You know, if you're reliant on social welfare, that is a safety net to keep you out of poverty.
And in a way, that's a noble aspiration. But being in government means you have
but
to pay for stuff.
It's not just a noble aspiration. We have to make sure that we're investing in our children
set out the aspiration and then you find ways to fund it. Because one of the things that Fiona Jennings was saying, that what is worse than funding is actually funding for a year and taking it away, which is the idea behind multi-annual funding.
And you hear about multi-annual funding.
You have to have a sustainable funding model, an economic model behind we have to find ways to fund it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we
but you
are
don't know
very,
how much it would cost.
We are a very wealthy country, and we can afford to do it. If we could do it last year, we can make sure that.
Can I just say you're making the point about when you take away the energy credits, and we're experiencing that right now, and we are trying to move to something that's more permanent for families, and that's why we've introduced the free book scheme this year in the budget. We extended the back to school scheme to children who are 2 and 3 years of age as well. So, you know, I accept the debate and participate in the debate about the pros and cons of the strategy. But we are showing an intent with the strategy, and that is about
I just wonder, because in terms of intergenerational poverty, you have poverty black spots in this country. Mm-hmm. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil together have been in power for almost the entire history of the state, mm-hmm. and yet those poverty black spots continue and persist.
Yeah,
In
that time, we would have also introduced, I've mentioned initiatives that we have progressed. Of course, we've also had, my mind's gone blank, but we've had DESH and we've had lots of...
A raft of initiatives. The poverty black spots continue to exist and persist, maybe in some cases expand as well.